Our scripture this morning moves to a letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. And I've been challenged from time to time to provide titles for messages. I know some of you really like titles. And there are times when I like titles too. But it's sometimes difficult to come up with a really clever title, you know. So I guess we're going to call this one this morning. If you want a title, it's going to be called At the Cross. Or maybe we could call it I Got a Better One. It just came to me, you see? Crosswords. Crosswords. Now, there's at least three ways that I know of you can take that, but we'll get back to that in a moment. This is the letter, beginning with verse 10 and going through verse 18, the first Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writing, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, to us it is the power of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Creator God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, and the outward actions of our lives, in thought, word, and deed, be holy and acceptable unto you. May you give us your light that we might share with those you place around us for the glory of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess I'll start with a short story, a very short story. And it has to do with this, happened to be a Quaker gentleman who was searching for the perfect place to worship, the perfect church environment. You know, some of you may have even been at time on one of those journeys trying to find which church should I be worshiping at? Which one will I be led to? And how will I know when I get there? Because I'm looking for the real church, the pure church, you know? And so he and his wife attend this church, and then they attend that church, and then they attend that church, and they attend that church. And a few weeks later, one of his friends sees him again and says, how's it going? He says, oh, I found the perfect church. I found the pure church. And his friend said, really? He says, how many members are there? And he says, oh, there's only two, my wife and I. And sometimes I worry about her. We can easily deceive ourselves and be deceived into thinking that we have alone the full understanding of what it means to be God's people and how that should be lived out. I have a book. Actually, I have two books in my office that are about 1.5 inches, 3/4, maybe 2 inches thick of all the denominations of the world, all the various ways that we think we understand what the teachings of Jesus is to be about and how we're to live it out. I didn't bring that out here today because it just It saddens me. As much as it's great in its diversity, it saddens me that we've got all these different ways of saying, oh, this is how we should live. Paul is writing to a church that's got some problems. He's been there before, but it was a very short time, had sent them an earlier letter, and they responded back. And persons that he had met while he was there, Chloe, a businesswoman, had sent back some information through another letter that while Paul was still in Ephesus, he writes this letter. This is the corrective letter that we have. The first letter apparently is no longer in existence. I've searched diligently for it. Can't find it anywhere. I'm not sure that it was ever saved. But this is the one in which he begins to address some of the issues that were going on in Corinth. Now, Corinth is an interesting city. It's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's a shipping city. It's in an area where a lot of travel, a lot of trade, a lot of goods are coming through. I read some interesting articles that talked about, in those days, there was a little isthmus, which is a strip of land between two larger bodies, and there's water on either side. And in those days, what they'd do is the ship would come in, they'd land the ship, they'd offload the goods, they'd put them on wagons or something, walk across, or beasts of burden would take it across the land till they got to the other body of water, load it back onto a ship, and then keep going. Or at some point, they really got clever, and they said, hey, we've been watching that History Channel, and they came up with these little rollers, and they'd haul that ship right out of the water, up on those rollers, and run the whole ship across the land until it dove into the other side. Pretty clever stuff. I'd like to have seen that. The point is, there was a lot of trade and a lot of diversity in what was going through that area. A lot of cultures and cultures coming together, intermingling, clashing, causing all kinds of problems. And so Corinth was a wonderful place to bring the good news of Jesus. In an area that had multiple gods, that understood God in various different ways and from different cultures, it seemed it was ripe for the good news of Jesus. And indeed, Paul had started the church there. But now the church had come upon some hard times. Like some churches even today, churches are planted with the hope, the seed of what could yet be in God's kingdom. How God's people living in close relationship with the Creator can impact the world around them and share the light that has opened their very existence, paved the way through the sacrifice of Jesus for life eternal. We're meant to be a mission station, a mission house where we remember the good news. We gather to sing praise. I hope I didn't offend anybody this morning, but when we get in here and we start singing, we ought to be filled with, I'd like to add mine. I want to add mine. That's when we raise our voices. Let the glory of the Lord rise from this place. Because in truth, none of us are here by our own doing. It's by the grace of God. We got through last evening by the grace of God. We're meeting the challenges of the day. Whatever's before us, by the grace of God. Your strength will run out. Even the strongest among us will grow weary. Even the best speakers will lose words. The greatest thinkers, their mind will falter. It's by the grace of God we're able to gather and remember how good God has been. And then to encourage one another that God, who was wonderful and perfect in the past, is also the same in the present and will be in the future. We're meant to be lighthouses, if you will, beaming with the joy of Christ in us for the world. An upside down power, if you will, in terms of the world, because the world always said, you know, those who are leaders will be at the top and everyone else will serve them. And Jesus came to say, no, in my Father's kingdom, this is how it's to work. If you would be a leader, if you would be great, you must serve. We're meant to be those beacons into the neighborhoods, into the communities in which we're planted. And so was the same for Corinth. The church, which initially started off in the power of understanding what Christ had done for them at the cross and how Christ's blood had set them free from the power of sin and death in their lives to be the people God called them to be, in spite of the fact that the world around them was pushing back. You ever see that example where someone comes out with a nice big tank of water and they have a little eyedropper with some nasty-looking colored ink, whatever whatever color you'd think is the nastiest. I don't know what color that would be, but, you know, and they, and over here it's very concentrated, but they put a drop in that water, and for a while you can see it, and it drops to the bottom, and then after a while it just kind of disappears, and you go over and you take another drop, and the difference kind of disappears. And after a while, you can't see any difference. It looks like it might be slightly different colored, but not really. That's what can happen when the difference between the light of Christ shining in the people of God in the local church cease to be different from the world in which they're planted. When we become reflectors of the society and the world in which we live, as the church in Corinth did, we no longer are serving the purposes God sent us for. We're meant to be examples of how broken lives, how shatteredness can be brought together in oneness in Christ. Though we live in different places, we come from different backgrounds, we have different heights and weights, we speak different languages, our backgrounds are totally varied. But we're one in Christ. We are built together in one. Even as, I mean, Paul goes on later in the Corinthians talking about different parts of the body. You know, where would we be without a foot or a hand or an ear? It's not complete until the whole body is together. And to realize that that whole body with separate functions has one purpose, and that is to make forward progress. The mission of the church is to share the good news of Jesus. That's the gospel. Paul goes on and says, you know, I'm looking for no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. And of course, I think anyone within the United Methodist Connection would realize that's pretty fertile words for the situation we find ourselves. And there's all kinds of opportunities to misuse the Word of God in that. And I prayed all week long that I'd find a way to share what I believe is the truth in this. We're not meant to be identical. We were never meant to be cookie cutters. But we are meant to be different than the world around us. We're meant to be able to share across a table with differing understandings, with different passions, but still have respect for God's person across the table and speak in love. We shouldn't be taking the example of the outside world where they're screaming and hollering and the veins are popping and they're claiming all kinds of ridiculous things. And you know what I'm talking about. That's not love. Jesus, who had every right to come and show us exactly the way we're supposed to live by slapping us side of the head like Agent Gibbs would do, boom, said, no, my Father has sent me that you might be forgiven and shown the way in love, in peace. Do no harm. To come and live and show by example there is a better way. Not by forcing, not by screaming and hollering, not by stamping. It wasn't so long ago. Some of us are really old. Remember when a certain leader of a foreign country took off his shoe and stamped it at the United Nations building? Remember? That's not how Christ is proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed in the way we live together, in the way we share together, in the way we, in our differences, are willing to say, that's not a big enough difference to stop the mission going forward and to share the good news of Jesus. Now, I know even as I say that, some of you are thinking, I was right. We're all wrong. Unless we're willing to give up whatever is keeping us from following more closely the path that God puts before us, we're just part of the problem, the same way the Corinthian church became. They started to look just like the community around them. They had the same problems, and they were not dealing with them any differently than the community was. They didn't look to Jesus as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their Perfecter in love, as the example which they should follow. They said, we'll just do the same. When someone takes a swing at me, I'll take a swing at them. We'll straighten this out. I can live like that. Paul talks in Romans. We're meant to be in the world, but not to conform to the world. We are called to be different. We're called to be God's people. And for as much as it makes you uncomfortable, you're an ambassador for Christ. Where you go, how you speak, how you interact with other people They know you. If you claim Christ as your Savior, it ought to be abundantly and clearly different than the way the world is operating. That's a big challenge. That's why I say when I started to think about a title for this, it's crosswords. Now, we know what crosswords are. That's those little puzzles we come to on the weekends, right? You fill in all the... a 14-letter word for whatever. But there's also crosswords in our lives, isn't there? We've heard crosswords. In fact, you know, Lord preserve us, maybe we've even uttered those crosswords. You're stupid. Well, when you get older, you'll know. You'll learn. You just don't know as much as I do. You'll never amount to anything. Those hurtful words that have come out, those are crosswords. But are we called to share those kind of words? Are we called by the Creator, by the Savior, to come and share words like forgiveness, compassion, holiness, words that identify with Jesus, who though he had every right to condemn us, you remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us the only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you go right to verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but through him would save us. It was God's plan that Jesus would come to save us, and that through faith in him we would obtain what we could not obtain otherwise. Friendship with God. Because we're sinners. Our natural bent is toward sinning. Our natural bent is doing things our own way. Do you not hear what Corinthians church said? They say, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to... Do you hear? I. So much of the problem we have in the world and in the church today is all about I. It's the middle letter of sin, you know. I. Wesley writing hundreds of years ago, make me small, Lord, and let the bigness of you be in me. Let me be filled with you so that the I in me is dwindling, is shrinking. Even John the Baptist knew that. He knew that now is the time for me to shrink and to recede. Now is the time for you to come forward and to move in love and in power. Well, Paul had his hands full in the church. They were into all sorts of things. Things that would lead them astray. But lovingly, and you notice how, maybe I skipped over this early, the very first words in verse 10 is, now I appeal to you, I beg you, brothers and sisters, don't be like the outside world. Don't live like the outside world. Don't speak like the outside world. How you diminish the power of the cross when you do that. I thought for a moment what I was going to try to do is get everybody a pair of clear glasses so that it doesn't affect your eyesight, a big pair of glasses, and then put a cross right in the middle of it so that everything you see from the point you leave here until the point we get back is always against the image of a cross. I realize some of us will be running into things, and it depends on how big the cross is. But do you see, we come to live in this world with all kinds of filters. We come with filters on certain political parties, certain fraternal groups, certain service groups. And I'm not saying any of that is bad, but we have to recognize the filters with which we're operating. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your first and primary filter ought to be the cross, because he's calling you to live a life that is like his. He's calling you on a journey to mirror his. Not to point your finger in other people's face and say, you're wrong. You're just filled with hate and you don't understand us. Jesus' way was the way to the cross, the way he calls us. Pick up your cross and follow me. I will be your rest. I will be your refuge. My grace is sufficient for you. It will not be an easy journey, but they will know you by the way you act, by the way you love. In fact, even one of the most difficult emperors in all of Rome recognized, look at those Christians, how they love one another. Now, you may suspect that those early Christians were of one mind and one thought, but I know different. I remember the 12 sitting around the table, and while they're moments away from the betrayal of Jesus, one is ready to betray him, one is arguing, trying to get credit for going out and buying the bread and the wine that day. Somebody else is arguing because he didn't get to sit next to Jesus, and he thought that by doing so, you know, I'm being disgraced. It's back to the I again. I think the biggest problem, Jesus and Paul would suggest the biggest problem of the church, the body of Christ, is not that we're different, but that we cease to be willing to let go of whatever it is that God would have us bind together. I'm not willing to let go of things. Maybe that's a problem for you too. Maybe it's something that we could give to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm holding on to this too tightly. When the truth is, I can't control anything. All I can do is, I can't change the world, but I can open my heart to follow you more faithfully. I can open my eyes so that everything I see against the filter of the cross. That when I come to make a choice in my life, you can help me remember, it's too easy to act like the world. It's too easy to come out and say, ugh, instead of saying, it's okay. And some of you, maybe like me at times, will say, well, that just means we're going to get stomped on. Yes. You think it was easy for Jesus to accept the cries and the catcalls and the spittle and the beating that he took? You think it was easy as an innocent person who never did anything wrong, never anything sinful, to accept all of that and not once usher some blasphemous words out of his mouth? He said, that's the way love acts. It's free to you, but it's going to cost in how you live it out. I think somehow in the church, we've lost that. Now, I want to lift up. There are wonderful, good things happening in this church. When we have strangers coming off the street and speak to me and say, you know, when I walk in, there's such a spirit of love and acceptance here. I don't know what's going on, but I can feel it. That's a good sign. Amen? You know? That's not something you're doing. That's something God is doing in you. You don't have to wear a sign. You don't have to wear a badge. You don't have to wear special clothing. I appreciate it when you come in clothed. Don't misunderstand me. But there is not someone at the door that says, I'm sorry, sir. No one is allowed unless you're wearing a jacket. Remember those? I'm sorry, unless you're wearing a tie or a hat. We used to wear hats, remember? I'm sorry, ladies, unless you wear a hat, you can't come to church. Nobody's going to sit there. Because this is the place where those are being drawn and those who have been drawn come to remember how good God is. But to place their lives once again squarely against the cross. Because too many of the crosswords of the world have infiltrated into our existence. And it's time for us to remember the crosswords that he put before us. I forgive you. You are precious in my sight. The identity God gives you is enough. Do you really have to come up with another one? What could possibly compare to child of God, child of the King, a person of worth? Anything else is down the list. And there will be those who will challenge and say, you got to be more, you got to be more. I don't know. I think if the King of the universe, if the creator of all that is around us, all the goodness that he's shown, calls me friend, I don't know what more you can give me. A dear friend some years back sent me a little plaque, and he said, if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. That's loaded with meaning. God has lifted you up, and by his grace found you, invited you, and adopted you into his holy family. What are you doing messing around in the bad neighborhoods, behaving as they do? Sharing the good news is one thing, absolutely. But let's not take, like burdocks, all the problems of the world and bring them back in to here. This is meant to be a holy gathering. Are we there yet? No. But God's not done with this. That's good news. I believe God has the full power to fix whatever's wrong with us. And I know what the problem is. You know what it is? It's us. It's God's intention that we be made holy like he is. And he has the power and will to do it, but he won't come up against no and disrespect it. unless we're willing to let go, unless we're willing to follow where he leads us, straight to the cross, we're going to have problems. So I pray that in my prayers for you, you'll remember your prayers for me. Because we've got a ways to go. It looks like there may be some bumpy roads ahead. But I'm not afraid. Because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
We serve an infinite God. Who though his spirit grieves over the current situation we may have. Let us remember, we're not called to be like the world. We're called to be his people. Loving, free, and willing to sacrifice where we may have to sacrifice. Because he's called us to it. It's okay. In the end, God wins. In the end, love wins. And there's no bruised knuckles. I pray we can keep those crosswords before us. Compassion, love, endurance. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is able to bear all things. Pure love casts out fear. That's how we move forward to the cross. In faith, knowing that he who also endured it before us is able to gather us together and help us pass through that experience, giving him the glory the whole way. And it's not about us at all. It's not about me. It's not about you. Let us pray. Lord, in all of the ways that we come to you broken and misshapen this day, we are grateful and thankful that you do not check us at the door to make sure that we have a certain threshold. We may come in, Lord, with crosswords in our hearts or in our minds or even perhaps on our tongues as we move from the parking lot into this building. But I pray, Lord, that somehow in this space, in the music, in your word being shared, in the proclamation of your good news, we can move from those kind of crosswords into the kind of crosswords that you call us as your children. It's going to be a big job, but we give you thanks that you're a big God and able to accomplish all things according to your will. Lord, perfect us in your love. Remind us of how blessed we are and that we have the precious opportunity to be a blessing to those you place around us. Not reflect who they are, but invite them into the light of your love. For the glory of your Son in Christ, we pray. Amen.